ends. Either I watch my senses, then I control my thoughts. I don't watch my senses. I'm out of my mind to think I control my thoughts. Have we talked about this before?
Once before.
Have we?
Not recently.
At least it's worth. This is pretty important. We're not angels. These are desires. Every thought leads to a desire. There's no way I can master my desires unless I control my thoughts. I will desire what I think. Period. Close the book. Where do I get my thoughts? From my senses. That's why in Mother Teresa's community, the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Constitutions, they never watch television or listen to a radio. I'm to go to India this September to talk to the delegates for the general chapter in Calcutta. And among the things I'm going to tell them, in God's name, don't change that rule. Then our desires lead to our actions. We do what we desire. Want to control your actions? You've just got to control your desires. And always, remember, always it begins out here. You just cannot read sympathetically. Just to mention three magazines: Time, Newsweek, and say World Report, U.S. News, World Report. I repeat, from cover to cover. Oh, those are weeklies, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'd say 6 weeks is enough. Read through those magazines for 6 weeks straight, sympathetically. Be a changed person. Watch your eyes. Then, every action leads to a habit. That's the way you acquire a habit. We know what good habits are. We call them what? Virtues. What are bad habits? We call them vices. So, habits. There's only one way to break a bad habit. Stop performing the action which led you to that habit in the first place. A person is an alcoholic. I'm going to make a perpetual novena. Look. Either you stop drinking or you'll never get over your habit. That's the way you acquire a habit, by the repetition of the act. Our habits shape our character. We distinguish in theology between person and character. Each of us at the moment of conception is a different person. We're all human, but God infuses a distinct, different soul, as we've been saying, into each one of us. And the difference in our bodies, the way we look, when we act. That's only a reflection of a deeper, more profound difference in our souls. And God wants a variety, some 6 billion human beings alive in the world today. He wants human beings to be different, and that's what person means. Remember, we define person. IIB equals P. Individual, intelligent being equals person. Individual, intelligent being equals a person. The essence of personality is individuality. But character is something different. God gives each one of us a different personality. But we, with our free wills, we shape our character. And how do we shape our character? Well, obviously, by all that is preceded. What are our senses, our thoughts, desires, actions, and habits? And then finally, and this is logical, then our destiny. What we've done with our personality, or the use of our free will, determines what our destiny will be. We know what God wants. God wants everyone to reach heaven. Will everyone reach heaven? We dare not say that. Only two wills, God's will and our will, that really matter here. God wants us to do certain things to reach heaven. If we do them, we'll make it. If we choose otherwise, like the demons who went to hell, so human beings, and how that needs to be repeated today. Are the angels superior to human beings? They are superior. Unlike us, as we've said, they don't depend on a body to either acquire ideas or communicate ideas to others. Well, how do angels get ideas? From God. How do they communicate ideas? They have no mouths. If one angel had a mouth, others don't have ears, so that wouldn't help. They communicate by willing to communicate. I want to say so and such and such to so and so. They communicate. Angels do not need, have to eat or drink to sustain themselves in life. Now, some people, I must say, are not so happy about that. See themselves, Father, I've had people asking, are you saying we're not going to eat or drink in heaven? Father, are you serious? Here's the way I put it. We won't have to eat or drink in heaven. That's the safest theological statement I can make. We won't have to eat or drink to survive. A glorified body does not have to have, I don't see, 3 meals a day, even 1 meal a week to survive. Moreover, at the resurrection, he will neither marry or be given in marriage, and will be as the angels of God in heaven. I'm going back. I should have said that earlier. But it comes to the same thing. Oh, by the way, this is where the Muslims differ from Christians. In the Quran, there's not only marriage, But here it's polygamy in heaven. Do you hear me? And the Muslims, oh, how they look forward and I'm just quoting because I've taught Islam over the years. Sexual relations, sexual pleasure are the great joys of, quote, heaven in the Quran. These are naturally more like God, who is uncreated pure spirit, than we. We are like God because we have a soul, but the angels, without having a body, are more like God than we. Let's take one more. Oh, a lot of questions. Thank you. Please. My eyes are very poor, as you know, so I'll do my best. Can we still pray for the intercession of Saint Christopher? It is claimed that he does not exist. Oh. There is a Saint Christopher, okay? He really exists. And I know in heaven he's very happy. Gee, thanks, Father Hardin, for showing people that I'm real. What happened at the Second Vatican Council was that the church had reduced, not the number of saints. Look, once you're a saint for all eternity. Now, St. Christopher was never canonized. So what? Question. Was Our Lady ever canonized? St. Joseph ever canonized? Canonization began about the year 1000. So, nobody tell you there's no St. Christopher. Can a person not yet confirmed, but taking RCIA, receive the sacrament and absolution in confession? Well, the language I'm sure is being used nowadays. A person should be a professed Catholic before he or she receives Holy Communion. That's the Church's teaching. As you know, one problem with the RCIA is it can just go on and on and on and on. So, however, a person must be a professed Catholic to receive Holy Communion. I could talk for hours about the RCIA. Catholic faith. Can a person married to a fallen away Catholic, marry the Baptist Church, become Catholic? Is the spouse's non-active Catholic faith an impediment? Then, as you know, absolutely speaking, yes, the marriage consists in the exchange of consent. absolutely speaking, two people who are free to marry exchange their consent, and I repeat, absolutely speaking, that's what constitutes marriage. Now, for a Catholic to be married, both validly and licitly, it should be before a priest or a deacon. Does the church give a dispensation for marrying, say, in a Protestant church? Yes. It's, however, risky business, as I've taught over the years. And it's risky because by being married in a Protestant church, the Catholic is in effect, risking marrying a person who does not believe in three things. Who may not believe that marriage is for life. No one can enter a valid marriage unless they intend, when they marry, to marry for life. Number one. Number two. They must intend to have children. Condition. Number two. Number three. They must intend to remain faithful to the spouse. And there is no Protestant church in the world, over 4,000 denominations. It does not exist. No Protestant church anywhere in the world that believes that marriage is a lifetime commitment. No Protestant church in the world believes that. Zero. Secondly, no Protestant church in the world believes that contraception is wrong. None. And thirdly, no Protestant church in the world believes that there is such a thing as infidelity. Unless I want to marry and remain faithful, I would not validly marry my spouse. How do we communicate with our guardian angel if they cannot read our minds? Only God can directly read our minds, to use that expression. We've said we can communicate with our guardian angel, they can communicate with us by the will. In other words, the voluntary decision that we make. I want to communicate with, because they have to be the angels, could be the saints. Well, of course, God Himself. My deliberate intention to communicate my thoughts with another mind is all that's necessary for communication of mind to mind. Could you list some of the works the Vicar of Christ would like accomplished by the laity? 1. The Holy Father would want the laity to work harder than they are for the reunion of dismembered Christianity. Secondly, the Holy Father wants the laity to cooperate, especially in helping bishops to remain faithful to their episcopal responsibility, to help the bishops. Because so many of the laity, as I'm sure you know, so far from helping the bishops, are a grave obstacle. Then what we've been saying, the Holy Father wants the laity far, far more involved than they are now in teaching the Catholic faith. Shall I add? I could go on for hours. The Holy Father wants the lay married people to have larger families, more children. Do you have a comprehensive list of the faith we could take so that we would know our weak areas? Well, there is a book published by my Jesuit confreres some 20 years ago. I think it is called The Teaching of the Catholic Faith. I think it's now published by TAM. It contains all the principal doctrines of the Catholic faith in one volume. I don't believe there's any one editor for that book, but TAM publishes it. It is an English version of what is called the Handbook and Caridian Symbolorum, Handbook of the Creeds. This is a shortened version of what is called the Enchiridion. The Enchiridion is in Latin. This is a shortened version of the Enchiridion, published, I repeat, by TAM. I think the title is The Teaching of the Catholic Church. I wonder how we can get a sense of the content of our materialism here, and we are so immersed in it, we have no perspective, any ideas. Well, over the years in giving the exercises, I've told the people, as some of you know, to classify their lives into four categories. First, what do I enjoy? Secondly, what do I endure? First, classify my pleasures. Secondly, my pains. Thirdly, the things that I should get rid of. And number four, the things that I should sacrifice. So, the pleasures, the pains, things to be rid of, and things to be given up or sacrificed. Now, I could spend, obviously, days talking about this, but I think if you just examine, for example, number one, your pleasures. How many of my pleasures are sense pleasures, bodily pleasures? Well, I should ask myself, which of these pleasures does God want me to enjoy? We have asked this before. Can we enjoy, may we enjoy a good meal? But I remember I was in the Jesuit order about maybe 3 years. Every afternoon we'd have, well, a midday break. We could get some food. My spiritual director asked me, do I take that break? We called it hostis, Latin term. I said, yes. Have you thought of giving up your hostis? Well, never occurred to me. Well, think about it. So, eating between meals, am I making sense? Mm-hmm. Social scientists tell us, especially in Europe, America is the most and best fed nation in the world. Am I still making sense? That's one kind of bodily pleasure. Then there are parts, I'm sure even of Greater Detroit, that at least have sidewalks only on one side. Some streets I've seen have no sidewalks. They're so used to driving. Mother and I were too poor, we never had a car. With the Jesuit order, I couldn't drive a car. Well, I was exempt from ever learning how to drive a car. Am I still making sense? There's such a thing as walking. And as you know, you have all kinds of expensive equipment to make up for lack of exercise. This is not a retreat. Thanks for the question. Am I still making sense? What is evolved poverty for a married couple? It depends, of course, on how the vow is worded. Evolved poverty for married persons, of course, oh, let me be clear. Both husband and wife must agree. And we repeat, they must agree. In other words, ask oneself, now we have made some suggestions, or at least by implication. What are some of the material things in my life that I could do without? I don't think Mr. Monahan will mind my saying this, though I know I'm being taped. As you probably know, he made a 30-day spiritual exercises. And we were together, by the way, for 3 days in Chicago this past weekend. They're very good friends. I don't think you'll mind my telling you. He told me I'm worth $1.25 billion. So, you cut down on some of the things you've got. Mr. Monahan sold his 7 airplanes. He sold the Tigers. Very expensive retreat that he made, by the way. Well, this will take God's grace. Ask our Lord, what can I, for married couples, what can we live without or have less of? By the way, I've had people walk out on me more than once. I could talk about that, of course, in detail, because over the years, in counseling people, they have taken vows of poverty. Why has the Catholic Church declared All Saints' Day a holy day of obligation and not Holy Thursday? Well, Holy Thursday, and I withstand correction. Over the centuries, there were many more what we call days of obligation than there are now. To check my schedule, my schedule, my sources, where the Holy Thursday had not been a, say, a day of Holy Day of Obligation. But the church, as you know, did institute a feast called Corpus Christi, and now it's called the Body and Blood of Christ. And it's still a Holy Day of Obligation in many countries of the world. So surely Holy Thursday would deserve it. Would or could a direct statement from the bishop of a diocese recognizing the lay apostolate help promote its acceptance? I'm sure it would. The lay to be involved in apostolic work. There's a long document on which we are now speaking, published by the Second Vatican Council, just exclusively on the lay apostolate. Well, let me tell you, there's a big difference between the council publishing a document and the people even knowing the document exists. Take, for example, the document Inter Mirifica on social communications. Most people don't even know it exists. And the document specifies, couldn't be more definite. God, in His mysterious providence, has enabled us to discover means of communication we've never had before. Why? In order to make them available for the apostolate. One radio and television station after another, owned by whom? Owned and controlled by people who are just the opposite of what we believe in. In 1972, and I could talk for hours, I have direct orders from Pope Paul VI. Everything in my power to get the laity to begin to control our media of communications. Said Paul VI, I fear for the Catholic Church in America. You get Catholics controlling your radio and television stations. You have a Mother Angelica. But as you well know, phenomenally successful. But, and I could talk for hours, Mother Angelica was about to lose everything she had. That's some years ago. She wrote and she called. Finally, she sent a round trip ticket. Prepaid ticket from New York to Alabama and back. Then call me up. Now will you come? Well, I figured, I guess she's serious, so. So I went to Alabama. In 24 hours, Mother Angelica was saved. I go talk now for hours about the pressures of Mother Angelica. You lay people, would you recommend the secular Franciscans in our area? I cannot see that I know them well enough. I know about them. My mother was a Franciscan tertiary. I do not know the secular Franciscans in the Ann Arbor area. There was an article in the Detroit News regarding Maida's comments on Moskovitz's stand against the people who support abortion, euthanasia, and birth control. What part does the Pope play in the Nebraska bishop's stand? I can assure you, the Holy Father is pleased. My son works 3 to 4 hours on Sunday. He is a teenager. He specifically chose to work on Sunday only, although he had other options. He attends Mass on Sunday because we bring him there. There is no other devotion by him on Sunday. Please help us to guide our son correctly. Well, how many parents over the years I've counseled, and by the way, the guidance of your children begins, I've even said, remember, from pregnancy. It may be undoing the lack of, well, discipline or training the child, the boy in this case, had not received. First of all, be sure that you give a good, strong example of a Catholic life. And that example is more than example, it's a source of grace. What your son needs in this case is God's grace. First and most importantly, be sure that you live a strong Catholic life. Secondly, if he works on Sundays, I'm sure he's just mistaken, does not realize what he's doing. You might find ways of providing, what shall I say, for recreation. Some joint family enterprise which would compete with his work. I like this definition of work. Work is that which a person would rather not be doing if he could be doing something else. So find a more enjoyable substitute. And of course, pray. The Church Visible by James Charles Newnan. External Practices of Catholic Church in Mother Evangelica's List. Wednesdays may be ordered. Oh. Mateja, M-A-T-E-J-A, Church Supply. Phone number 313-513-2950, 513-2950. Address 30762 Ford Road, Garden City, 48135. I recommend it. Why do followers of New Age teaching have renewed an interest in angels? Because, as I think I've told you, In a materialistic country like ours, there's a powerful reaction against our materialism. The trouble is, a new age is one of those movements. Reaction against materialism. The problem is that most people don't know where to go. Now, they do talk about angels. They've got things all mixed up. So, in other words, it's the reaction against materialism. Except the New Agers are, to put it mildly, not clear on who the angels are. Is New Age movement using angels? If so, how? Yes. Using the angels as a reaction against the materialism of our society. That's why we've got this class. As I promised Father Engelbert and Ubus Angelorum people, I would want to cooperate, and I do cooperate as much as I can to help them. We need to recover even our faith in a real world that is not, can be weighed or seen with bodily eyes or tasted with bodily lips. Is it a mortal sin to work at a place of business on Sundays? Not necessarily. Here are the conditions when work on Sunday is allowed. Number one, where the work is more intellectual than servile, where the mind is more involved than the body. Like, say, writing or dictating. Strictly speaking, servile work is forbidden on Sunday and not intellectual work. Secondly, where the work, though servile work, is done out of charity. Thirdly, when even the servile work is done out of necessity, where it's simply necessary, say to keep a job or to make a living. Or fourth, where the servile work is not protracted. And over the years we've been teaching that up to 2 hours, even servile work would not be a grave sin. Another question. Do we get more graces if we wear several medals? I thought that according to the church, you could only get special graces from wearing the Martyr's medal and the four-way scapular medal. Is this right? Oh, no. Now, please. I don't recommend wearing, a large, say, quantity of medals. Yes, there is grace that comes from wearing medals. The quantity does not necessarily increase the amount of merit. There are certain medals, of course, that are specially recommended. And of course, the Martyr's Medal and the Scapular Medal. As you know, the Scapular Medal may replace wearing the scapular. I happen to wear the scapular on my neck. But I repeat, you may, however, wear a medal for all the scapulars that the church has. There are a lot of scapulars. How's that? I could go on. Thanks for the question. Are any Protestant marriages valid, even if they are validly baptized, since they, as Protestants, do not believe marriage is forever, or believe they should have children as God wills them, or intend to marry forever? the same question for mixed marriages. Over the years, having, as I said, and by the way, two of those women, boarders and my mother, had lived with us, were Lutheran girls, Judith and Susan. I learned all about Martin Luther by the age of 4. Mother made sure that Judith and Susan in no way tampered with my Catholic faith. I think I told you. She told them, now either you stop eating meat on Friday or you'll not be able to stay here. And many Protestants, oh, I'm happy I am to say this, many Protestants have been deeply Catholicized. Am I clear? Viva. How happy I am. So even though their churches don't believe what we've said, say that marriage is a lifetime commitment, there are Protestants who do. I'd watch it. If a person who is a Protestant does not believe that marriage is for life, and even though that Protestant marries a Catholic, that marriage, I repeat, is invalid. Am I still clear?